favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you get coverage options based on how much you want to pay for car insurance. And then you decide how to spend the rest of your money, because you're in charge. And right now, you're going to pay for groceries. But you decide what groceries. Just keep in mind you're running out of dishwashing soap. But you decide if you're going to buy that soap. Just those dishes won't clean themselves, will they? Remember, with Progressive's Name Your Price tool, we'll help you find coverage at a fair price. And then, you're in charge. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Build your business with a partner you can trust. The Home Depot. When you join Pro Xtra, you get lower than shelf pricing and dedicated support to help you streamline your business and stay on budget. Get dedicated pro support for supply sourcing, custom orders, large equipment rentals, and more. At the Home Depot, we supply the support your job needs with the level of service your business deserves. The Home Depot, how pros get more done.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A federal judge in Washington state temporarily halted President Trump's executive order seeking to limit birthright citizenship, saying it violates the 14th Amendment.
The 83-year-old Reagan appointee who heard the initial argument on the president's executive order said in his four decades on the bench, he can't recall a more clear case. Judge John Kuhnauer called Trump's move blatantly unconstitutional, and he swiftly issued a restraining order to block it. The president has aimed to prohibit the issuance of passports and social security numbers to children born to immigrants here illegally or on visas starting next month.
ABC Stephen Portnoy. Senator Lisa Murkowski says she's a no vote for Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth, citing his past comments on women serving in combat and allegations of mishandling finances. Republicans can only lose three votes without Democratic support. The majority of the country remains locked in a deep freeze. That includes rare snow in the south. This is ABC News. Seven officers in San Antonio coming under fire following a standoff.
Joseph Laredo was in his third floor apartment when he heard noises outside and grabbed his phone. Officers who'd been sent to check on a man reportedly attempting suicide were met with gunshots, and seven were hurt.
The suspect barricaded himself inside the apartment for several hours.
San Antonio Police Chief Bill McManus says SWAT officers later got inside.
The suspect was found to be deceased.
What's unclear is who fired the fatal shot. The seven wounded officers are expected to be okay. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
In South Korea, anti-corruption officials have requested prosecutors indict former President Yoon Suk-yeol. He was impeached for insurrection and abuse of power over last month's martial law declaration that lasted about 6 hours. Yoon is the first sitting president to be arrested in South Korea's history. Last month's imposition of martial law was the first in South Korea in more than 40 years. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Thinking about gas mileage? You know, changing your oil with a full synthetic oil like Mobil 1 can help your engine get more miles. Right now, you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $38.99. Get started on your next job today with the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Progressive presents Renters MVP's Most Valuable Possessions. Today's MVP, Emily Neal's 70-inch TV. Because after watching her second-grade students yell at each other for hours, there's nothing Emily enjoys more than watching super-rich housewives also yell at each other. Why? Because those women are not her responsibility. And that's why her TV is today's MVP. Keep your most valuable possessions protected by bundling your renters and auto insurance with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Tad Allen. Democratic Governor Tony Evers laid out his plans for this year during his State of the State address at the Capitol Wednesday night.
Evers announced $300 million in investments to improving school mental health services, as well as investments to water quality programs and removing lead from water. Evers also called on the legislature to pass common sense gun control measures, saying that wouldn't interfere with Wisconsin's culture of hunting.
No one wants to change this proud part of our heritage, and we won't.
The measures will have to pass by the Republican-controlled legislature. Raymond Neupert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Republican lawmakers are responding to Governor Evers' proposals.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says he hopes Evers is serious about finding common ground with legislative Republicans.
Everyone, whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent, should be able to rally around the idea of fighting inflation, better educational outcomes for our kids, and punishing violent criminals. We heard from tonight, Governor Evers, a long list of things, partisan demands in a way that doesn't bring Wisconsin together.
Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Lawmakers in Madison are likely to be at odds over school funding.
State Schools Superintendent Jill Underley's request for an additional $3 billion for K-12 schools follows last year's high number of local funding referendums. In a newsmakers interview with Wisconsin Eye, State Senate President Mary Felskowski said districts need to prioritize needs.
I see school districts funding needs, and I see school district funding wants.
Senate Minority Leader Dianne Hasselbein said the state needs to increase funding.
Over half, I think, of the school districts in 2024 winter referendum.
At the Capitol, Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
At Advent Health, we believe wholeness isn't any one field. It's all of them. Laughter to tears and everything in between. So let your hearts overflow. Let your spirits dare to hope. And let the sun shine through. May you always live in wonder, wondering at this life. And never, ever stop reaching for what makes you feel whole. Learn more at adventhealth.com/human spirit.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
We are going to put a little pause on our warm-up today. It's going to be sunny, cooler, 10 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, 3 below. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, becoming breezy, 23. And then by Saturday, we'll get back to right around 30. If you want the best barbecue in town, I have the secret. It's Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe, GrandpaBBQShop.com. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it is 7.
Corn and soybeans resume their rally on Thursday with both making new highs for the move. What's driving it, and is it starting to feel a little like 2020? Plus, all-time highs are hitting both live and feeder cattle futures again today. But is the stampede just beginning? We'll find out today on AgriTalk.
Live, it's noon nowhere. Via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Arlen Suderman from StoneX. Directly following the news, Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, filling in for Chip, on loan from the Farm Journal broadcast, Galaxy of Stars, please welcome Michelle Rook.
Hey, thanks so much, Davis. Well, you have a better voice than I do today.
Yeah,
I've been fighting the crud, and So I don't sound like my normal broadcast self today, so sorry about that, but I'll muddle through.
You sound all right. Maybe you're being a little hypercritical of yourself there. I think you sound pretty good. I think you'd be all right. Yeah.
All right. Well, it has been like minus 15 degrees up here in the Dakotas, and so I'm just going to blame it on the fact that we are stuck inside and the germs just love us. So.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll give you that one for sure. It is cold. It's cold down here in Kansas City, but our version of that is 22 degrees and sunny. And man, it's cold out there.
Yeah, I think you've had more snow than I have had, though.
Well, that's true. That's true. And we're still trying to get rid of it. Still hanging around, but we're doing damage as we go along here.
Florida's had more snow than you've had.
That's true, Arlen. I didn't know he was potted up there. Yes, you're right. Yeah, I saw in the news last night that Governor DeSantis was talking about having 8 to 9 inches at the governor's mansion. So that's pretty crazy.
You know, what's interesting is my parents usually go to Florida for the wintertime. And this year, for various reasons, they decided not to go. So they're still in Iowa. I think they're having a better winter than they would have had they gone down to Del Boca Vista down there in Florida.
Yeah. I feel for those people. We are so used to it. And even during the inauguration, you know, you saw Amy Klobuchar going outside without any coat on. And I'm like, yep, she's a hearty Minnesotan. She's and everybody Minnesotan, else is bundled up like Eskimos, you know. So
you bet. You bet.
That was funny.
Well, who David, are you bringing with you? Yeah, who you got today?
Arlen Suderman, chief economist, commodities economist with StoneX, is back with us, especially with all the things that have been going on here this week with the new, you know, after the inauguration, the new administration, what we're seeing for tariff and trade policy, what we're seeing with South American weather. There's just so much to talk about right now. And then, like I said, we've got all-time highs going on over in the cattle market. So Arlen is going to get us up to date on all of that stuff. But you get us up to date here a little bit on the news for the day.
We'll do it, Michelle. Wheat futures chose to ignore the trend of higher corn and soybean futures with HRW leading declines in the wheat complex. A new Arctic air mass could arrive in hard red winter wheat areas of the U.S. within the February 2nd through 6th timeframe. If realized, there may be a need for a new snow cover to protect crops from the associated cold temperatures. March soft red winter wheat futures bounced from support at 548, which is closely backed by the 40-day moving average. Initial resistance stands at 557 and one half. March HRW wheat futures 4 cents lower, 570 and three quarters. March SRW dead steady at 554. And March spring wheat was down 2 cents on the day, 604 and one half. Michelle?
Yeah, wheat has been such a disappointing market. It can't follow corn and soybeans, even though they've been making these new highs for the move. And we're going to talk a little bit about what's capping that rally with Arlen coming up.
Well, corn futures trimmed early gains, but did finish the session well in positive territory on technical buying and looming supply unknowns as South American weather raises mild production concerns. World Weather Inc. says recent rains in Argentina were welcome and beneficial for crops, but much more is needed, and more rain is expected there next week. March corn futures turned back at Wednesday's high, which is backed by 496. Meanwhile, initial support at 480 and one half. March corn futures today gained 5 1/2 cents to 489 and three quarters. May corn up 5 1/4 cents to 499 and a quarter. July corn futures closed at $5 and three quarters. That's up a nickel on the day, Michelle.
Yeah, and above the $5 mark for the first time for a long time, I think 8 months. And it's nice to see the funds have piled in here. We'll see how much longer we can push this market now that we've hit these technical objectives.
Yeah. Well, soybean futures drafted higher early on strength in both soybean oil and soybean meal. Nearby soy meal contracts were unable to hold on to those gains and finished just below unchanged. Archer Daniels Midland Co. called a force majeure, halting grain loading at U.S. Gulf export terminals as the region's worst snowstorm in 130 years slams the area. China has stopped receiving Brazilian soybean shipments from five firms after cargoes did not meet plant health requirements. Here at home, March soybeans bounced from an earlier test of support at 1047 and a half. Near-term resistance layered from 1069 to Wednesday's high of 1073 and a half. Today, March beans firmed 9 1/2 cents to 1065 and a half. May beans also added 9 1/2 to 1077 and three quarters. July beans closed at 1088 and a half. That's up 9 3/4 cents on the day. Feels like these beans just keep creeping higher, Michelle.
Yeah, and I think we closed back above the 200-day moving average here on beans today and some of these contracts, which was kind of key, but we just get closer to $11 all the time.
Yep. Well, March cotton was 33 points higher at 67.47. Quickly on your livestocks, nearby fat cattle contracts scored a new high again with April futures joining February above the $200 mark. Feb live cattle gained $1.05 to 201 even. April live cattle up 95, $200, 72 and one half cents. And March feeder futures added $1 to 274.07 and one half. And Feb lean hog futures gained 65, 82, 12 and a half. Michelle?
Yeah, thanks, Davis. And in with today's price action is Oliver Slope with Blue Line Futures and Oliver Corn and Soybeans. How do we look on the charts here after today's stellar close?
you know, pretty constructive. And I think the last time you and I spoke was at the end of last year, and we just talked about the overwhelmingly bearish sentiment in these markets and the enterprise risk for some surprises. We knew that the South American weather was good. The tariff talk was looming over the markets. The poor demand for soybeans specifically was looming over the markets. And there was an underpriced risk that one, if not all three of those, kind of gets repriced. And I think that's really what we've seen here to start this year's trade. And how much more upside is left is the big question. You talked about the fund positioning in the corn market and funds getting just back into positive territory in soybeans for the first time in what seems like a lifetime. And it makes you wonder how much more aggressive they want to get. Fundamentally speaking, you know, you could make the case that they're not going to really push the pedal to the metal. But conversely, look over what they've done in the livestock market, live cattle, feeder cattle, lean hogs, all record net long positions. And so if they've got that same mentality in the grain market, there's still some upside in these markets.
All right. If you think that's true, are we looking at over $11 beans, and how high could corn get?
I think that these grains can continue to surprise to the upside. Technically speaking, $11 is going to be that psychologically significant level, especially for the March contract. Looking a little further out to July, I think you get $11.20, $11.25 is your next upside objective if we can continue to be on this path. And so far, that path of least resistance seems to be higher to start the year.
And just quick, you see more upside in cattle?
The fundamentals and demand, it's stout, but man, that is one lopsided market right now as far as positioning goes.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Thanks so much, Oliver Sloat, Blue Line Futures, with today's price action perspective. When we come back, Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist with StoneX, will be joining us to talk about the dynamics of this corn and soybean market, plus more. We'll be back with AgriTalk coming up.
Help maximize your yield potential and savings with 0% financing on leading fungicides from BASF. You can't beat 0%, especially when you could save big on consistent performing fungicides like Revilock fungicide and Veltima fungicide until March 15th, 2025. 0% financing means keeping more in your wallet for better ROI. Talk to your BASF retailer today about the Grower Finance Program. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions. See BASF Grower Finance Program for details. Always read and follow label directions.
Achieving excellence isn't easy. It's reserved for those willing to work for it. Farmers like you, who strive for bigger yields and better education. People who settle for nothing less than the very best. Because you know excellence can only be achieved through hard work, commitment, and perseverance. Take your operation to new heights and join us for the 2025 Commodity Classic, Elevating Excellence in Agriculture, March 2nd through 4th in Denver. Learn more at commodityclassic.com.
As a grower, when you take out a land loan from FBN Finance, you're borrowing more than money. You're borrowing expertise from loan advisors who are often farmers themselves. You're borrowing loan technology that makes smart decisions faster and easier. Don't just borrow money. Borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and Ad Council.
When I got
attention, all egg producers, it's the 2025 Chippewa Valley Egg Conference, Thursday, February 20th from 9 to 3:30 at Florian Gardens, Eau Claire. This full-day event presented by Security Financial Bank features a keynote address by ag strategist Doug Johnson, breakout sessions on tax planning, dairy market updates, and more, plus a panel discussion on modern ag challenges and opportunities. Registration is $30 and includes lunch. Register by February 13th. Visit sfbank.com for registration information. SFB, member FDIC.
You have work to do. You need a tractor that helps get it done. TYM is a full range of tractors designed to meet that task. With the TYM easy-to-use controls and features, switching from one job to another is easy. And with a full range of models from 24 horsepower to 105 horsepower turbo, there's a TYM tractor that's just right for the job and for you. Work smart, but you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers. Synergy Co-op, State Road 25, Ridgeland.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, simplifying land loans to help family farms build a stronger financial future. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
And welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Michelle Rook in for Chip Flory. Chip will be back tomorrow.
Huh?
Yes.
Yeah, Chip will be back tomorrow. Hey, guess what? You've got Arlen Suderman coming up here next. I talked to Josh Linville just earlier this morning on the morning show.
Oh.
We covered the fertilizer side. This
awesome.
Is great. Is we're getting the total picture today.
We are. And, of course, Arlen can cover about any picture, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
He is one of the most experienced and well-noted economists that we have in the business. Arlen, thanks for joining us. Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist with StoneX. And corn, obviously we knew that demand was driving this market here into new highs for the move again here today. Some of these deferred contracts finally getting over the $5 mark. Is it just demand, or are we starting to see kind of a full-blown South American weather market?
You said most experienced. I guess that means I'm one of the oldest.
No, it's not. That does not imply anything about age.
Well, I do have 4 decades of experience in the market. So as we look at this, you ask about whether this is all demand driven, whether there's some other factors in there. Demand certainly is strong. Low prices do cure low prices.
Right.
And we have seen that in corn more than we have in corn and soybeans and wheat. We're seeing stronger export demand, and it's been very diversified as far as where that demand is going. We've seen it in stronger demand from ethanol grinds, which have been running near capacity. We've seen it stronger in feeding, with where the feeding margins have incentivized feeding to heavier weights, record carcass weights in some cases. And so the demand has been solid. So then you look at the supply side, and then USDA came in and made essentially a record downward adjustment in the yield for the January report. And so all of a sudden we were left with less supply than we anticipated. I'm going to look to the March 31 stocks report to see if that is confirmed. But for now, that's what we're going to go with, and that's what we're going to assume. The question is, will supply be further reduced in the near term? I say near term because long term, we're buying more acres. We're buying more acres in Brazil. The timing of this rally was unfortunate from that standpoint, as farmers in making their final planning decisions. We'll be updating our customer survey in Brazil on February 3rd. I'm anxious to see what they say it has happened as far as increasing their planting intentions there. We're also hearing from our customers in Ukraine that they plan on increasing corn acreage there as well, which was a surprise to me considering the input costs there with the war and the risks that presents. That reverses a trend there, but corn prices are profitable enough at these levels that they're increasing area. And then we're hearing about increased area in the United States. When you look at seed sales, they're showing fairly robust. So for now, it's providing us a great opportunity. Is there more upside potential? Yes, there is. I think it would be healthier if we could slow down the pace of gains going forward, give us a more solid base and not drive the demand away, not start decreasing those feeding margins, et cetera, until we could consume more of this corn. But it is what it is, and the money takes it at the speed it's going to take it, and that's what's happening. And then I'll hold my breath on March 20 or 31 when we get the planning intentions report.
Yeah, absolutely. So from a price perspective, when we have corn ending stocks down at this 1.54 billion bushel level historically, are we at adequate prices that we need to be at?
Yeah, I think we are.
Okay.
My mining stocks are a little lower. I've got exports a little bit higher. If you look at the current export shipment pace marketing year to date, we exceed the seasonal pace we need to be at to hit USDA's target by about 130 million bushels. So I thought at first we were more front loading our export demand at the cheap prices. So while my export target was higher than USDA, it still isn't as aggressive as what the shipment pace is. But I continue to be impressed with how aggressively we're shipping. Based on softening Gulf demands, though, on this price rally, we may be seeing that start to soften a little bit, and that's why I've been a little bit more conservative. But I am 50 million bushels above USDA right now, and that brings my bottom line down to 1.49 billion, which is significant because that's 9.8% stocks to use, which 10% is kind of that magic number. The market's comfortable above 10%. It's uncomfortable below 10%.
So you and I talked on Tuesday about some rumors that China might have been in buying some U.S. corn. We haven't seen necessarily evidence of that. But this market, both corn and soybeans, almost feel like there's hopes in this market that there is going to be some China business there, or maybe there is going to be a China deal. Am I reading that correctly, or is that something that might be happening?
Yeah, we started talking with our people in China about this back a couple of months ago, really. I think soon after the election, maybe a month after the election or so. As we look at Trump coming into office at that time, we knew that he was going to be threatening tariffs, which he had done. Xi Jinping, the president of China, is in a much weaker position now than he was 8 years ago when Trump came into office. Their economy is really struggling. Their economy is heavily dependent upon trade with the United States and Europe. We're their largest buyer of consumer goods, and they need us buying those consumer goods, and a tariff would not help that at all. And so his economies are already on life support, so to speak, and he can't afford a trade war. And so we speculated at the time, and we were hearing some speculation on the ground in China, that perhaps there might be the possibility of a trade agreement, whereas they would agree to buy more U.S. ag commodities in exchange for favorable tariff treatment from the United States on consumer goods coming here. Now, that means it'll cost them a lot of money to do that, because with the strong dollar, our commodities are much more expensive than alternative supplies like from Brazil and Ukraine when those supplies are available. But it still might be worth their while to do that because of the massive consumer market that they might be able to save. Right. And we have seen in recent weeks that both Trump and Xi Jinping have been moving towards each other, and Xi Jinping has been positioning himself for negotiations. And in the Chinese culture, sometimes that means making good faith purchases. And so while we don't think we're close to an agreement, like imminently close, like next week, we felt like it would be months instead of the years it took for an agreement last time. And it may be even closer than what I originally thought, maybe not 6 or 8 months, but maybe 2 or 3 months, 3 or 4 months, or maybe even next month. I don't know. But we are hearing China in the cash market, maybe buying some corn. It has been buying some soybeans for its reserves, and that's what these would go into, right, is its reserves. And also even inquiring about some wheat and kicking the tires in the wheat market as well.
So, Arlen, is this why we did not see immediate blanket tariffs from the Trump administration like he talked about during the campaign, and instead we're seeing this, I guess, you know, more methodical tariff situation here? And is he using that as a negotiating tool?
Yeah, absolutely. We're still looking at now, instead of a January 20th tariff deadline, we're looking at a February 1st tariff deadline of 10%. I think it's part of why Trump has changed his stance on TikTok. That's another kind of smoothing of the relationship type of a move. One of the things that Trump did very well in 1.0 is his advisors well advised him that Chinese culture values relationship. And if they have a relationship of respect, they can do business with even their enemies, so to speak. And that's why they were able to eventually get an agreement then. And you notice that back in 1.0, Trump always spoke respectfully of Xi Jinping versus some other world leaders who he put down. Xi Jinping, he always spoke respectfully about, talked about how much he considered him his friend and stuff. And that helped get us in agreement. And I think that relationship has been restored. Now, even President Trump talking about a visit to China, and he's already extended an invitation to Xi Jinping to visit the United States for his inauguration, which he didn't do. But his vice president did come to attend the inauguration. So those are all signs that they're moving towards each other, I think, towards some type of an agreement.
I don't think we have time to talk all about this, but this is feeling a little bit like 2020, kind of ramping up into the big China trade deal.
Yeah, I think so. And I think there probably will be a trade deal. Will it be enough to give us a bull market? Not necessarily, but some good selling opportunities and some stability in the prices.
All right, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the similarities with 2020 when we come back. And then I also want to talk to you a little bit about these Mexican and Canadian tariffs, 25% by February 1st, and what that could mean for the market as well. We'll have more AgriTalk coming up.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes. For March, HRW wheat futures were 4 cents lower at 570 3/4. March, soft red winter wheat, steady, 554. March corn futures gained 5.5 to 489 3/4. July corn futures closed at $5.75. That's up a nickel on the day. March soybean futures firmed 9.5 cents to 1065 1/2. May beans also added 9.5 to 1077 3/4. March cotton was 33 points higher, 67.47. On your livestock, February fat cattle gained $1.05 to 201 even. March feeders added $1 to 274.07 1/2. February lean hog futures gained 65 cents to 82.12 1/2. Get more market news every market day. Simply visit tryprofarmer.com.
Day one.
Tax season is here. Don't pay more than you have to. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sundstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sundstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sundstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sundstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
When it comes to farming and family, the most important thing is laying down roots. Hey, it's Matthew from Bluff Country Feed and Seed in Mondovi, and we want to help you grow your roots. From planting to harvest, we can help you lay your foundation through quality feed, seed, fertilizer, and great service. We know how to help because we know Bluff Country. At Bluff Country, we understand the importance of strong roots in the community and the relationships we build. So plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
We are going to put a little pause on our warm-up today. It's going to be sunny, cooler, 10 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, 3 below. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, becoming breezy, 23. And then by Saturday, we'll get back to right around 30. If you want the best barbecue in town, I have the secret. It's Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe, GrandpaBBQShop.com. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it is 7.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
And welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Michelle Rook in for Chip Flory. Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist with StoneX, is our analyst today. And appreciate you being along, Arlen. We kind of ended before the break talking a little bit about how this is kind of eerily feeling, at least in my mind, it feels a little bit like 2020. You know, we started off that year so bearish, especially about the corn market. 3 billion bushel ending stocks was talked about when we were at Commodity Classic. And then, of course, we had COVID hit. And that just exasperated the situation. And everybody was so bearish. But by the end of the year, you just kept picking away at the market. You know, first 5 million less acres of corn were going to be planted. We had the derecho in Iowa, and then you started seeing China buy. You know, is there similarities to 2020 here that might set up another bull market like that?
Yeah, in talking about the 2021 marketing year, and particular when we saw big sales to unknown destinations, very similar to this year. And so the big question is, you know, is that a repeat? Similar to that year, though, we were seeing low prices stimulate demand. So you saw resellers building up supplies, figuring that they'd be have the opportunity to move that corn at a profit as we go forward. And we're seeing some of that this year. There's been speculation of, is that China? And as I look back at the data back then, when we got the big announced purchase by China in January, right after the inauguration of 2021, we did not see the big reduction in unknown destinations, indicating it was not. It was other buyers. And that's the indication we have this year as well. It's other buyers. And that's actually friendly, because if China does come in, that means it's not sales already on the books. It's additional demand on top of that if they do, if we're correct on that. And so that's the positive. So the question is, do we get a trade deal? It certainly feels like that. And then it comes down to the fact that USDA has already, with their surprise reduction in yield for this last year, reduced the supply down to kind of pipeline supplies. And so we're in a situation where we can't afford a weather problem. We don't have a cushion against a weather problem, a major weather problem in Argentina, or with Brazil's winter corn crop, their safrinha crop, or with Ukraine's crop, or with the U.S. Midwest crop this coming year. We don't know if we will have a weather problem. Well, Argentina's dry now, and that's at risk. But the cushion is gone, and that gives us opportunities for rallies to sell then as if they do happen.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch. I know the economic situation in China is much different than it was during that time period. But always we look back at these markets because they do have cycles and we can learn from that. So the China tariff situation, we already talked about that. But let's talk about the 25% on Mexico and Canada that has been threatened by February 1st if they don't help secure the market. Again, do you think that's just a negotiation tool to maybe have them relook at USMCA earlier, or what's the end game here?
Yeah, I do think it's a negotiation tool. Now, it's going to leave us very nervous until there is an agreement, because there is a lot at stake here. We can't automatically assume that a 25% tariff, if implemented, will result in reduced exports to these countries. But it is at risk of doing so, because namely, we would have to see how they respond to it. Do they give counter tariffs at the same level on what we import from them? versus what we export to them? Do they match those levels? When we look to Mexico, they're our largest buyer of corn, importer of corn. They're number two on soybeans. They're number one on pork purchases from the United States. They buy a significant amount of wheat. I could go on and on. We do a tremendous amount of business with them. When we look at Canada, we import a significant amount of crude oil. Now, Trump talked about being energy independent, but that doesn't mean we quit importing crude oil from Canada, because Canada produces heavy crude oil and we don't. And many of our refineries in the Midwest are designed to process heavy crude oil. And it's not easy to turn those around, to change those. That's a massive undertaking. And so we're still going to need to buy it. Well, if they put a counter 25% tariff on, that really increases the cost of the crude oil that we import. I don't think Trump wants that. He doesn't want that kind of inflation or complaints from the consumer. So he has some incentive, but I think as painful as all that would be for us, I think Canada and Mexico, the economies are in position. They need us even worse than we need them, so to speak. And so it's a family squabble that I think we come out on top, but it's going to keep us all nervous till we do. I do think that there will be an agreement. This is mainly about fentanyl crossing the border as well as illegals. And so it doesn't necessarily necessitate that we get a new trade agreement in order to avoid the tariffs.
Right. So soybeans in particular, I want to follow up a little bit. We've talked a lot about corn, but let's talk about soybeans. The March contract has rallied over a dollar off the contract lows we hit on December 19th. Despite all this talk of tariffs that we've been talking about here, and the talk of a record crop in Brazil. Are soybeans just following corn right now, or is this market concerned about a smaller South American crop?
It's concerned, but it's a concern in an environment where money's coming back into the commodities. If we were still in a bearish, deflationary type of environment, worried about the economy sinking, et cetera, the market wouldn't be as concerned or as anxious to trade this market. But because we're more in an inflationary environment where the funds are less comfortable being short commodities and more comfortable having ownership of commodities as a hedge against inflation, we've seen the two-year inflation break-even rate, what they think inflation is going to average over the next 2 years, go up a percentage and a half over the last couple of months or so. That's coming back. So that creates an environment where they're more willing to trade a potential bullish story. We're far enough along in the Brazil crop that we're going to have a crop. It's probably going to be somewhere near 170 million metric tons, up about 20 million metric tons from last year. We're seeing better than expected yields in Mato Grosso, where they started harvest. We're seeing our people in the ground in Brazil think we've probably lost about 2.5 million metric tons of production in Rio Grande do Sul. That may grow a little bit more. Argentina, we're earlier in the growing season. Those losses, therefore, could be more significant, significantly more significant. Or if the rains return in February, as some models are indicating, we could recover that much of that lost production. And with the big crop in Brazil, it not matter. So there's a wide range of possibilities. The market is choosing to believe the negative, so to speak, of small production right now, when the options are still there for both ways. And I think that says something about the sentiment of the market of kind of wanting to be positive in this new environment.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the growing situation in South America. We've also heard reports that it's too wet in central Brazil or parts of Brazil, which is slowing harvest and causing quality issues. Are you hearing any of that?
As I ask our people that who are down there, they said those are very isolated. Okay. Most of our delay problems are because of the rainy, cloudy weather, just simply delayed the maturity of the crop and the dry down of the crop. But that's not seen as a significant problem at this point. The forecasts are calling for it in week two to dry out in those northern wet areas, when we should really see the harvest pick up momentum at this point.
Embroiled in all this, you and I talked this week as well about China rejecting, I think, soybeans from five different Brazilian firms because of phytosanitary issues. Was that really a phytosanitary issue or a quality issue, or was that gamesmanship?
Yeah, my default response is something's going on. China, is this indicating a trade agreement with the United States close? They're going to back off on Brazil soybeans. But what we did not see, if that were the case, we'd expect to see Chinese buyers washing out previous purchases from Brazil. We have not seen that. And as we've talked to our people on the ground here over the last 24, 48 hours, what we've been seeing is confirmation that in most cases, these were actual phytosanitary issues as shippers are cleaning out the bins, shipping old crop soybeans from Brazil, and running into some of the problems from that when you clean out the bins. And in some cases, it wasn't a whole ship. It was just one or two holds within that ship that had some problems with the beans, and that other ships from the same shipping company were able to continue to move. So we think this is a short-term problem related to phytosanitary. It worked very conveniently to kind of knock basis in Brazil as an attempt to do that. That works well for China. That may have been a factor as well, because they really need, they're hitting a wall of beans coming now onto the market that they need to ship. But we do not see any evidence that this is a major change or shift away from Brazil at this point.
Okay. Before we go to the break, one quick question here. You mentioned money flow. The funds are long over 300,000 contracts in corn. Now they've actually gone long soybeans. How much longer will they push those positions, or how much farther?
Yeah, I think the wild card here is actually the biofuel program here in the United States and domestic demand. We saw a record crush in December, but that is really dropping back, and we have no clarity in the biofuel program and don't know when we're going to get it to increase that demand for soy oil.
All right. And he's talking about 45Z there, which we may or may not have time to talk about. When we get back, though, I do want to talk just a little bit about why wheat has not been following corn and soybeans and this explosive rally to record highs in the cattle market. We'll be back with more AgriTalk.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $40 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $18 a month, a savings of nearly $300 a year.
Whether you need a $100,000 policy or a $10 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance. In a hurry? Don't worry. With SelectQuote, you can get up to $2 million in instant, affordable, same-day coverage with no medical exam.
Call SelectQuote at 1-800-637-9116. That's 1-800-637-9116. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-637-9116.
Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
Every morning, we rise and shine. Make breakfast and brush away the night's rest. These routines help us start the day off right. Nature Made vitamins are a simple step in that daily care regimen. Multivitamins with daily essentials, clinically studied probiotics for gut health support, magnesium to help relax the body. Nature Made is made to care for you every day. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Progressive presents Renters MVP's Most Valuable Possessions. Today's MVP, Tom Kelly's Carbon Fiber Mountain Bike. Because more than riding his Carbon Fiber Mountain Bike, Tom loves telling people about his Carbon Fiber Mountain Bike. Friends, family, even a local barista knows about his Carbon Fiber Mountain Bike. And that's why Tom's Carbon Fiber Mountain Bike, if you haven't heard about it, is today's MVP. Keep your most valuable possessions protected by bundling your renters and auto insurance with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Is Dan English, General Manager, FBN Financial. Dan, as farmers consider where to get their land financing, why should they consider FBN?
Well, at FBN Finance, we're really dedicated to serving family farmers and putting farmers first. We've created an experience to provide farmers with all the essential information that they need to during their land financing journey. And so on the front end, they can use our free land evaluation tool, AcreVision. They can look at land insights and metrics, soil types, using that product. Then they can use our land calculator to view their estimated rates and fees. And then when they're ready to get pre-qualified, they can use our digital application and then take advantage of our instant approvals for qualifying applications.
Okay, pre-qualification and instant approvals. Explain that some more and tell me how that benefits farmers.
Well, if you're just starting out your process and you're not sure what you can afford or not sure how a lender is going to look at it, pre-qualification gives you that confidence to go out to an auction or, you know, consider a refinance if it's worth the effort to put in the time and effort to get that. And then a pre-approval or an actual approval is great when you want to move quickly. So let's say you win that auction and you've got a limited time period to close. You don't want to spend the first couple of weeks thinking around, who's going to give me a loan? We'll let you know right away. It takes less than 15 minutes to fill out the application, and we can get you approved for up to $2.5 million.
Really cool. Dan, how can someone get in contact with your team?
You can get started right now by going to fbn.com/agritalk, or you can call us directly at 833-FBN-LEND. That's L-E-N-D. And right now, for AgriTalk listeners, when you fill out a form to speak with a loan advisor or call us directly and mention AgriTalk, you're eligible to save $500 on closing costs for your land loan over $250,000.
Thank you, Dan. Very cool. That is Dan English, General Manager, FBN Financial.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Veterans, if you were impacted by a recent hurricane or natural disaster, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is here to help. To find 24/7 info about healthcare, housing, insurance, benefits payments, and more, call 1-800-MY-VA-411 or visit va.gov/resources/disaster-help. That's 1-800-MY-VA-411 or va.gov/resources/disaster-help. For emergencies, always dial 911.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
And welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Michelle Rook and for Chip Flory. Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist with StoneX, is our guest today. And Arlen, we've been talking about the big rally and move to new highs for the move here today in corn and soybeans, kind of what's been driving that and how long it could last. I guess when you have a big rally like this, you would think that maybe that would pull the wheat market up. But why has wheat really not been able to follow corn and soybeans? Is it the fact that we have this higher dollar, belief that maybe the Black Sea war may end, or is it just demand?
Yeah, the biggest problem is the supply. We have a massive supply here, and especially a hard red winter wheat. We're the world's residual supplier. We have the variable rate storage that's built into our market structure. We have the quality storage in the system to pay for us using it. So the world comes to us after it's used up its alternative supplies. Those alternative supplies have really tightened up. And right now the world's getting its wheat primarily from Argentina and Australia, their new crop supplies. And as we get into March and April and those tighten up, then we may see those exports start to strengthen here. And that's about the time we start really learning about how much damage did we do from this week's winter kill event. Actually, we should learn that sooner than that. And then we may get wheat following depending on what the damage levels were.
Yeah, that gave us a bit of a pop on Tuesday with some of the winter kill concerns there. But, you know, when you say that we're the residual supplier here in the globe, obviously Russia has been undercutting us in the market for a while. But some of that is tied to the fact that we do have this higher dollar. It does makes us non-competitive, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's one of the commodities that's very sensitive since we grow wheat around the world. And so that's a problem. Russia, the Black Sea region, really sets the world cash price until they run out of supplies, which they are essentially doing now after a couple of years of really bumper crops. Then they had a short crop last year. Looks like this next year will be a short crop as well. And so then the world goes to Europe, Argentina and Australia, Canada, and then comes to us. And it looks like we're going to get our turn this next year to start working down these supplies. And then we'll see what the size of the crop is and how much it's been hurt by this cold.
Okay. I want to talk about kind of the bright spot of the market. Not that corn and soybeans haven't been, but record highs here for a second day, all-time highs in both live and feeder cattle futures, and the February contract finally above that $200 mark. So cash market has been pushing this, but it looks like the fact that we're going to keep the Mexican border closed for a while yet to Mexican feeders is also driving this. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly right. And we've been monitoring this from USDA, but also from our contacts and our customers in Mexico as well. And the border still is closed to those cattle coming north, which prior to all this was averaging around 13,000 head of feeders per week. And what our contacts in Mexico are telling us is they're being told by USDA that when the border does open, it will be just maybe one or two places that'll be open where they can come across, and it'll be very slow. It'll be a very small door, so to speak, very heavy inspections of those cattle, and that's going to give a very slow flow of cattle through when it does open up. So not that 13,000 a week by any means, it looks like, a much lower number. And so that's giving some new juice to the feeder cattle market and overall the fat cattle market as well, as we look at tight supplies going forward.
And 3 weeks of record cash also pushed it, though, on the live cattle side, too.
Thank the consumer for that. And a lot of that is the Trump effect, the consumer feeling good, willing to pay up these higher prices, the choice cut staying up there above $330 at a time when we normally see product prices backing off because of soft demand at this time of year. That's keeping the cash up there. So very impressive. Has us all nervous because we know the history of the cattle market to make spike highs. So people experiencing the cattle industry get very nervous, but so far the fundamentals are staying underneath this market.
The weights have been making up for some of the tight supply, though. Do you see that changing at all here in the near term because of the weather situation that we've had?
Well, the weather certainly is going to take some weight off with the cold that we've had and the snow that we've had in places. Also the rising feed prices are changing those dynamics somewhat as well. It's going to take us a little while to get those weights back on those feedlots as snow melts, so the lots get messy. And that's a factor as well. One of the things that the strong dollar is doing, though, is making it profitable to import beef to fill the void, to fill the shortfall. And that's all. We've been also hitting record pace of beef imports to help fill that void.
So the funds have really piled in here in, well, actually both cattle and hogs, but I think they're record long in the feeders. They're very long in the live cattle futures. Do they keep defending that position?
So far, they are doing so. Now, the scary thing about this is the producer, both in the cattle and the hogs, has been nervous, as I said. So they've been aggressively hedging these prices. So they've been selling as the funds have been buying. So the question is, when the funds do decide to get out, who's going to take the other side then? That's the big question. That's what can accelerate your losses when it happens. I don't know when that day is going to come. It may be tomorrow. It may be next month. It may be next year, probably sooner rather than later. But the consumer staying underneath of this market because of good confidence has been a significant factor in helping us continue it.
All right. Well, Arlen, always appreciate having you along. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michelle.
You bet. Arlen Suderman with StoneX, and Davis is back with a look at our weather.
Yeah, the 6 to 10 day weather forecast here, valid Jan 29 through February 2nd, all the way already into February. We've got above normal temperatures stretching from north to south all the way across the Corn Belt, headed all the way down to the Gulf of America, if you like. 6 to 10 day precipitation outlook. The let's call it Texas and the rest of the southeast, above normal precip expected. Every place else, pretty dry. L.A. and a strip all the way up to, oh, let's call it Albert Lea, Minnesota. Below normal precipitation expected there. The 8 to 10 day forecast, we've got above normal temperatures through the south. Below normal temperatures move into the north part of the country here, and above normal precipitation is expected throughout the country, except in the southwest there. Michelle?
All right, thanks so much, Davis. Well, coming up tomorrow, Chip will be back. I believe tomorrow morning is the Friday free-for-all starting at 10:06. And then Chip will be back tomorrow afternoon, AgriTalk PM. Our guest analyst is Chris Robinson with Robinson Ag Marketing. I'm Michelle Rook, in for AgriTalk.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner. They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
The smarter way to clean your floors. It's time to make the swap. Swiffer Power Mop.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop, the all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket. And the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop, Swiffer Power Mop.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The first of 1,500 troops deployed by the Pentagon are soon heading to the southern border. It follows President Trump's executive orders on immigration, including declaring a national emergency.